To learn my teachings, I must first teach you how to read.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sure I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
For those who need a visual effect, Colin is running around the room.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Let me spell. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hello, welcome to Dead on Board. My name is Peter Chapani, here with Colin Bradley.
Hi.
Austin Baker.
How's it going?
And today we're talking about tournament reports in our last week of play. Day two of Cincinnati, potential bans and unbans coming this Tuesday the 17th. And some other shit.
We'll get off on a tangent.
Some other spice.
Yeah. Who
it's
knows
Sunday.
Where,
here
who
we
knows
go.
Where it's going.
Yeah. Mr. Bradley.
Yo.
And Mr. Baker. Tell me about your previous week of play.
We played an industrious amount of Magic the Gathering.
What, like 5 out of 7 days?
Just Iron Man the week?
Yeah, no.
Straight up Magic. Just
my head hurts.
Yeah.
As well as everything else, but that was because last night, but that doesn't matter.
Played
a lot.
What, 3 days straight of Legacy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. And then two. We just played 3 days straight of Modern, too, honestly, because we played Tuesday. We just played tested.
Yeah.
So, no. Yeah, it was a lot of playing going on.
Magic.
What Monday we played at one of our LGSs. Mm-hmm. I played blue white red Jund with a Johnny Vengeant. That
so
deck is
six creatures and 2 planeswalkers.
Jund All Star.
Yeah. Jund All Star.
Shout
out Matt
Buglia.
Matt Buglia. Matt Buglia deserves a shout out. He's not listening though. That deck had started to be like blue white red control. If we're gonna be serious, had been starting to put up results. Recently, and I was like, I might as well try this. And to be fair, deck's a house. 4 Snapcaster Mages. That's the only creatures. That's it. 4
well,
snaps.
Plus Colonnades, right?
Yeah, Colonnade, and then like.
Are you playing 4 of those big baddies?
Yep. Ooh. 4 Colonnades. 4 Colonnades, 2 of Johnny Vengeance.
I mean, how do we win the game?
2 Sphinx's Revelation.
That's how. You just outvalue them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you also blow up all their lands if you get the chance, because that's just funny.
That's the dream.
That's funny as hell. No, but like, played that, and it was great on Monday. I think I went. So I went 3-0-1. But I wasn't paired up with the person who was 3-0 in the finals because there was a little bit of a miss report of a game that like I ended up drawing a game, but it was I drew game 2 and I won game 1 and I got reported as a draw. We both like miscommunicated. I was like, yeah, we ended up drawing, and I'd forgotten that wasn't game 3, so my own fault. But like went undefeated Monday, and then me and Colin play tested Tuesday. What'd you play Monday?
Played Kiki Chord.
This is when we had a revelation.
I had a revelation Monday.
What was that? What was your revelation?
Kiki Chord has actual 0 good matchups in the city of Columbia, Missouri, and the surrounding areas.
Right. Well, the general metagame.
The rest of the United States.
Magic in general. Yeah. Like, nobody's playing fair. Like mid range decks anymore.
And you're not really even like great against shadow decks.
Shadow decks are like
they're not bad.
Like the inclusion of Fiery Justice, actually shores that up a little bit. Just keeping their life. It's this weird parity you have to play with how much life you want to give them with I gotta kill you.
Right.
Nobody's playing like a bunch of Abzand or Jund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No grindy value nonsense.
So, I threw away all of my morals.
Yeah.
And,
audible.
I play robots.
Yeah.
I'm picking up Affinity.
Yeah.
Now.
And you did pretty well with it, if I remember right.
Yeah.
We play tested Tuesday against your worst matchups.
Against my worst matchups, and I still went like 50-50.
Yeah, it's tough, but I mean, you can do it.
Wednesday was the first, like, weekly I did with it. And, just dumpstered some people, except against like Jeskai Control.
Right,
it's a hard
lost
one.
That one.
It's a really hard one.
Bunch of spot removal and
Electrolyze.
I got Shatterstormed and I had a bad day.
Yeah.
But no, like I played blue white red again on Wednesday as well. I think I ended up going 2-2, but I hit up some pretty bad matchups too. Like Ponza is really tough. You can try to fetch all your basics and they stone drain your basics and you're like, I got nothing for this clown. But no, Ponzo, like I ended up stealing game 1 from Ponzo with a good tempo plan. I can't remember what else I beat. But I lost to Ponzo and. Shit, I don't know, Peter. It's been a long
Jeskai
way.
Jeskai Kiki.
Oh, I did. I lost the mirror. Only the mirror
just
had
twin.
Yeah, the mirror had Geeky Cheeky Twin combo. He was playing like 3 Exarchs, 2 Pestermites, and like 4 Angels.
Those numbers are actually incorrect.
Are they?
It is 4 Restoration Angels and 1 Pestermite.
No, he has Exarchs.
He had Exarchs?
Yeah, he has Exarchs as well. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. No. Well, so I was super.
F me.
Yeah, I beat that matchup the week before, but it basically. This time I missed like 3 or 4 land drops. No, probably 6 land drops in the course of the first game, and you don't win a lot of games doing that. And he just kept hitting land drops and just like testing my counter spells, which I only could hold up like 1 a turn. So he's just like, "Here's a Restoration Angel." I'm like, "Man, I like it." And he goes, "On your turn, here's a Kiki Jiki, beat you for 2. It's like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna die."
Yeah, the 2 beats. Well, because what do you do?
Yeah, I died to Kiki Jiki. I wish I was kidding when I said I died to Kiki Jiki by him just turning sideways and attacking, but that's exactly what happened. Like, I drew a bunch of logic knots after he already had a board presence, and that's not exactly ideal. So I lost game 1. And then, like, game 2, he just drew all his flash threats, bunch of spellcallers, bunch of Restoration Angels, and, like, I didn't have the tempo or, the spells to keep up. So ended up, again, kind of getting hosed on that one, and then lost to Pons, and I beat... I don't remember what matchups I beat. It doesn't really... Oh, I beat a budget 8-rack deck, which I think is pretty good. Pretty good matchup.
Wow, have I got some stuff to say about that?
Yeah. I think so. 8-rack is like whatever, but I think it's a good matchup for blue, white, red. Like, you have card draw spells, things like electrolyze that can affect the board, or just like go to the face,
right? And or you just manually get stuff and then
yeah. Just manually get spells and just try to keep up that way. And then like I have Sphinx's Revelation at some point to refill, so it's really, really brutal. And like you also just can burn them out. Like, you can actually burn them out quicker than the rat can. So like that one wasn't too bad. Again, I don't remember what I played against first, but I have a feeling Electrolyze was really good against it. Maybe not.
Played against me.
Did I play against you?
Yeah.
Did I play against you?
On Wednesday we played.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I did play against Storm. That's what it was. Yeah.
Wow. Segue to Peter's.
Yeah. Get in there. Peter's your first day. That's right.
We'll talk about Wednesday since we're already talking about it. So first round against Mr. Baker.
That's what it was.
And I knew that he was on this, you know, 2000 Sands 15.
Yeah. Sean McLaren dot deck from Pro Tour, Born of the Gods.
So my problem was if I play a dude and he lets it resolve, that doesn't mean it's going to last the next turn. If you have any kind of mana left up, it's just going to get pulverized.
Yeah.
Best thing that can happen to me in that instance is it getting pathed, because then I just get
you're going to land. Yeah, you're going to land out of it. It's fine.
So the goal was to just hold a dude in my hand, find a remand or two, and then be able to storm off through counter basically. Spells.
Yeah.
So like paying for mana leak through rituals and splicing rituals as I can just to get the value.
Yeah, just try to hit your land drops.
Yeah.
And then just win on one big turn.
I think game 1, you got it pretty handily, if I remember correctly.
I think I murdered some dudes and then just, like, crypted you out of cards, more or less. And, stuff happened.
You just always had, like, 4 or more cards in hand.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the problem with Storm is that, like, either you're super proactive and you dump your entire hand or you just sit and wait for the worst moment.
Right. You don't really have a mid-range game plan at all. You just have to, like, amass cards and hope.
Well, that's why game 2 gets a little bit better, because I turn into this weird mid-rangey thing. Like, you typically drop most of your grape shots and just bring in empty the Warrens.
Yep, which is good against me.
Well, so. I mean, it depends. Like, so you have Supreme Verdicts and probably, like, 1 EE.
1 EE in the board, 2 Supreme Verdicts in the main, and I kept them all in because I don't know empty the Warrens is a card.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Grape Shot, I brought in, like, Ruined Halo for Grape Shot. It turns out you take it out, but
yeah. So what's funny is game 2. Did we go to game 3? I don't think so.
I think we did. I think we did. I think I got because I think you just like made goblins and I just couldn't answer him.
Yeah,
at some point. Yeah.
So game 2.
Yeah, you can't name goblin with
the surprise, Halo. Surprise. But yeah, game 2. I remember you playing Rune Halo on Grape Shot, and I had a Grape Shot in hand, and I was like, well, like the worst thing that happens to me is I just can't cast this one card. Or I can target you with it.
Sure. It's kind of interesting because you can just like kind of target yourself to just increase your storm count. It's
not, and you just go off at instant speed, you know?
Yeah, it's not it's not the best thing you could do.
No, it's not, but
you could also wipe away my Ruined Halo.
Right.
that's the real tech.
Yeah, and 2 of those came in because I was just like, he'll either bring that or I know you have Gideons at some point, so like
possibly, yeah. I ended up not having Gideon, but I could.
Right.
So
and like a 4/4 indestructible dude is just
Yeah.
too much
can be really good quick clock
yeah
and like well, also plus it takes you make the emblem the Black yeah. Angelum. So,
and then it's just like either I target that and kill that Gideon and waste mm-hmm. Grape Shot, or
right,
you know, I don't want to give you a whole other turn. But anyway,
can
right,
you target Gideon if he has Rune Halo out.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he has that combo, I'm just dead. I'm done.
Yeah, I guess.
What am I like,
you just make him do the warrens.
Dead on board.
I'm dead on board. Yeah.
You would be dead on board at that point, yeah.
But game three got interesting because I drew all three of my Empty the Warrens. I played one for like two Storm just for four goblins because I know he like can't deal with that.
Yeah, because what am I going to do?
He's got to waste like at least a Supreme Verdict or an EE, and then that's all in my favor.
Like the worst thing that can happen is double electrolyze. Yeah. That's your nightmare. But like even then, you're just like, okay, like right. We'll figure it
you
out.
Just wasted two spells to kill four of my tokens.
Yeah.
So I made a misplay. I was like storming off because I knew I needed the top card in my library. Through Metamorphose was another Empty the Warrens. So right. I draw Empty the Warrens, and I also draw Serum Visions, and I'm like, cool, I'll cast Serum Visions now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I should have cast Empty the Warrens with like Storm Count 3, which would have been 4. But the problem is I already had goblins out, and I didn't want to just be dead on board to a wipe.
Right, I mean? Yeah, you didn't want EE or like Supreme Verdict to just ruin your life.
But
yeah.
I should have been more proactive and put more pressure to force you to play
it to cards. Make me find it really quick. If I already have it, like I'm going to get it anyway.
And you're going to play it then, whereas I had another copy in my hand. So I had like two copies of Empty the Warrens and Serum Visions. Instead of Serum Visions, and I find like a Gifts Ungiven and a Dispel, which the Dispel ended up dispelling like something a good. Sphinx Rev for like 4.
I feel like that's true. So, so I mean, the Dispel was good.
Right.
But I ended up still kind of being able to pull ahead at some point. So I feel like at some point I kept revving for like 3 or 4 and you kept remanding.
Yeah.
I feel like that kept happening.
And I'm just like, I can't let you get above 25 life is really difficult.
Yeah.
Well, the second this Sphinx is resolved, it's just game over.
Yeah, probably.
Because you're just
probably
no way wrong.
You come back from that.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So you wiped the 4 with me.
Well, it's a decent matchup. And
yeah. I think it's definitely favored for you. Yeah. Like it's like a 70-30 matchup.
Yeah, and you didn't find Wipe Away.
Yeah, no.
Which is just how you win games, apparently.
I dug, but so then game, no, round 2, I played against that budget A-Rack.
Yeah, Chattering Rats, man.
Yeah, what in the world is that card?
You got demolished
He was just like, all right, we're on turn 3. I'm like, I'm just going to win because I'm going to storm off here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Chattering Rats. And I'm like...
For those who don't know what that card does, it just puts a card from your hand on top of your library.
And it's a creature. It's a 2-2 creature
it's a
2-2 for 3.
For 3. It's not good.
Pauper All-Star.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
In the blue-black like control decks.
Yeah.
You just Chittering Rats.
Yeah. Well, then you play like... He's also playing Pack Rats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
oh, value.
Yeah.
That's actually... Like, Pack Rat's a clock.
Yeah.
Pack Rat will hit you.
It's a real clock.
Quick.
Turn 2 Pack Rat. Turn 3 Chittering Rat.
Attack. Hit you for 2. Sure. It's just Rat Tribal.
And like that plus the rack plus, I mean, he's like smallpoxing and
That's the real problem. Smallpox is just so good against you.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising because like discard isn't that big of a problem. Like if you Thoughtseize away one of my threats.
Okay, yeah, that's an issue.
But when every card in your deck is a Thoughtseize.
then it's a real issue.
Or it's just like discard 2 cards
wrench
because
mind.
You don't have an artifact.
Yeah, wrench mind's disgusting.
Heat.
Yeah, Tom Ross played at Rate Rack again this weekend.
Yeah.
So
he actually beat Caleb Shear.
Yeah. I think it's a good matchup for
Rate Rack. Oh, yeah.
And then I don't think you won another match.
Yeah.
He went 6-3 to end day
with,
one.
With 3 buys.
Yep. Yeah.
So he only won. He went 3-3 with 3 buys.
It's all very interesting, like, how that matchup plays out. Because on one hand, you want things in your graveyard. But you have to establish some kind of board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I play a creature... the best thing that happens to me is that he Fatal Pushes it.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably.
Or, you know, worst thing that happens is he Smallpoxes me and I'm down to 2 lands anyway. So.
Yeah, that's a problem. Because, like, you want things in your graveyard, but usually after you cast, like, 2 or 3 rituals, you don't really want, like, I'll just one with nothing myself and hope something good happens. Like, I'll just discard my hand. It's like, you need to have, like, some things to be going on.
Right. So. You have to be proactive, especially against the pack rat mentality.
Just like, just discarding stuff's not really where you want to be. Or having stuff discarded. You're not like, I don't care. It's like, it's not good for you.
No, not at all. Especially because I don't have the mana to cast Pass and Flames.
Right.
So then I had one against the buy. Which is pretty
guy
difficult.
Sucks.
I'm glad that he shows up though.
That guy's freaking terrible. I've never lost a buy.
And then I played against the guy who beat you, Baker. the Ponza guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I crushed it, it was demolishing.
Yeah, so yeah. Game one, he's like doing his thing, and he's just like, blow up your land. And I had like five lands at that point.
Yeah, you're like,
because I had like all the pieces in hand except for Gifts Ungiven and or Grape Shot.
Right.
Because I don't play a main board, Empty the Wounds.
Yes.
So I'm just like waiting for something, just digging. Mm-hmm. So he puts me down to like three lands.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's like that's sure. the optimum amount of lands. And I know he can't counter my stuff, so I was just like, all right. I drew Gifts Ungiven, and then I played Brawl, and then I just went off. And in the middle of it, he's just like, Pass in Flames. He's like, oh, you're going to recast Gifts Ungiven, and you're going to go get everything else. And I'm like, yep. And he's like, all right, let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
You appreciate when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like normally against Storm, like I'll concede if they go like Ritual, Gifts Ungiven. I'm like, all right, I've seen enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's, I know it's you're a competent enough player to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, but Colin, you got to make him have it, Ed.
Not with Gifts
Ungiven. It's a weekly.
I don't think you have to make them have it with Storm off.
It's a weekly like as well.
If it's turn three and they start to go off, they're like, oh, they have it. Like,
yeah.
Now if it's turn seven and there's been some disruptions,
they have to try to, they're like,
in the middle of that, have to Serum Vision or like sleight of hand. I'm like, all right, I'm going to slow down. Show me.
Yeah.
Generally, if I cast cantrips, I'm not just trying to get to some obscene life total number, like 25.
Yeah.
It's because I'm digging for what I need.
Yeah.
But you'll find it.
Yeah.
You're playing so many cantrips. But then game three, I played him, and he's like turn two Blood Moon, and I'm like...
Yeah, I have Blood Moon. Like, it doesn't matter. You're like, wow, what a card. Who cares?
Hey, turns out I have four islands in my deck, and I already played one of them.
Yeah, so that lets me cast... 1, 2, 3, 4. All my spells.
Yeah, and then he's just like, well, doesn't this disrupt you? Like, you can't play your, you know, all your spells. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because I have
Manamorphos. It's like none of this. I don't care. I don't give a shit, guy.
But there was a sweet interaction because I took out Gifts Ungiven. It turns out he does play Relic. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
So I took out my Gifts Ungiven package and brought in Pieces of the Puzzle, which is super broken when you play two dudes and he doesn't bolt. Yeah. Either of them.
Yeah, so it's just one mana. Look at the top five, take two, put the rest in your graveyard.
Right. I did that twice. I played the first one, and I got Ritual Manamorphos, and then I played the second one, and it was Gifts Ungiven, Pass in Flames. And I was just like, here we go.
Jesus. You know what's better than like Gifts Ungiven and getting two cards? It's guessing two pieces of the puzzle and getting all four cards if you wanted anyway.
Yeah, and you just...
And then filling up your graveyard for Pass in Flames.
Oh, yeah, and then he played a Relic the turn before. He just didn't leave out mana to pop it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he just, like, tapped out because he's, like, played Relic... I think he played Relic turn one on that game. And then turn two, he was just, like, Blood Moon. And I'm like, great.
You're dead. And then he's dead.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Well, that worked.
We did it.
That worked, didn't
it? But that was good. So that was... That was my Wednesday.
That's a fun one. You're just like, I'm just going to crush you guys.
And I started 0-2.
Yeah, down the 0-2, battle back to 2-2, and just like, well, whatever.
It's fine. I mean, I'm learning. I think it's always better just to cast MD the Warrens when you can.
That might put the pressure on. That might be true. Like, I've found out that sometimes they don't have answers to MD the Warrens, and you just win the game.
Right. Or, even if there's an EE in play.
Sure.
Like, I'm just going to force you to pop it because I need you to.
Yeah, you're never going to get Empty the Warrens going if you don't make them pop it. So I think it's fine.
Yep.
Did you play Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday?
No.
No?
No. No, but throughout the week? But this is joking, but I did just get permission to play next week's Modern Events.
Wow. Nice.
So Tori was like, we're going to go out of town. And I was just like, oh, that means I can't play. And she's like, so I could just call my mom. Like, we're rescheduling. And I'm like... Jumping up and down in my living room.
Champ. Yeah. We did it.
Because I've not been able to play in like a big super competitive event in a while. So.
Yeah. Oh, I know how that's like. Yeah. Until I guess recently.
We did one of those.
Yeah, we did it. We did an IQ.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
I can't speak for others, but I had a pretty good time. It was Legacy.
Best wonderful
Majorlings games. Mm-hmm.
What were you playing?
I was playing four color. Agroloam.
Agroloam.
Just a pot.
One less color than five.
One less color than five.
It's just a pot.
One more than three.
Okay.
You're just like, you're the middle ground, mm-hmm. I'd say, between like Maverick and Lands.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Mox Diamond deck.
why do you make that clarification?
Oh my gosh.
What happened?
I made
here?
top 8 of this tournament, and I got a game loss in the quarterfinals because I had a deck reg error.
Uh-oh.
And I wrote down Mox Opal instead of Mox Diamond because I'm a freaking idiot.
I mean, they're basically the same thing, right?
I was...
Mox Opal doesn't do very much in your deck.
I was so upset. I go into the top eight, just down a game.
Against Blue Zoo.
Against Blue
Which
Zoo.
Is not a freaking joke. Sweet. Yeah.
How'd you do, Baker?
I mean,
I know this answer.
Yeah, no, you know how I did, but like, I had a really good day, I think. I didn't make top eight. Like, I think, so actually, I think I could have made top eight, but that's not really the point of the story. Yeah. Started off the day against, friendly fired against one of our local players that I know and friends with. He was on Maverick, which I think is like a good matchup. I was on Blue-White Stoneblade. It's a deck I'm pretty comfortable with. It's the same 75 that I want to mox with. Minus one card. I cut Nahiri, the Lithomancer. Yeah. That's the one. That's the command.
That's
one. Okay, yeah. I cut her from the sideboard for just a Sword of War and Peace, the WAP, you might say. So I was like, I'm just gonna try Sword of War and Peace. It's good versus burn. It's a little life gain and it does just a boatload of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Side note: I hit an achievement. I think I hit a Sword of War and Peace, deal 10 damage in one hit. So that That was hot. I guess like it was. I hit him with a Stoneforge Mystic, so it was a 3-3 because the +2/+2, and then just dealt 7. So that was good. Mm. But yeah. No, I ended up winning game one, I think, versus Maverick. Game one, I ended up going to game three, but I won one of the games versus Maverick. True Name Gnosis is a house, and I had Thalia. Or not Thalia, not Thalia. I had Jitte, and he had Thalia, and I was killing his stuff. And
right.
Because Jitte just murders creature decks, especially ones that are playing like X1s and X2s. You can't, once you're under Jitte, it's just not, you can't win. And then I lost one of the other games. I think he was on the play game two and beat me. Just had like a really, really good aggressive start from Maverick. And once they like just establish Thalia in your deck with a bunch of spells, it's like not really good for you.
But Jit solves that problem. So.
Jit should, but they play like Abrupt Decay and just a whole bunch of other stuff. So like your game two, like your equipment package is much less impactful than it is in game one. Like I think they actually sideboard better than I do. I get to bring in like Pitting Needle for like Mom. Or like a Supreme Verdict, and I get to bring in like Sword of Feast and Famine, so I get to bring in a lot of like Haymakers, but I think their sideboard's actually maybe a little bit better. But no, I lost game three because I could have wastelanded him off of, so he was on three lands plus a death rite, and he had like no other board. And I had True Name with Jit, and I'm like, I'm just locking this thing up, baby. And I could have wastelanded him. I left up one mana that I did not have anything to do with, like,
right.
I didn't have plow or anything. So I left up a mana. I'm like, I don't really want to wasteland the Maverick player because then he just plays like an 8-8 Knight of the Reliquary, and that feels really bad. Well, then he just goes land drop, exile a land with Deathrite, tap four lands, Sigarda, Host of Herons, and I'm like, what the actual hell do I do against this card? Because I'm at like 15. I might have been at like 20 or 18. It doesn't matter. I'm dead to this thing.
Turns out there's nothing you can do.
Jit doesn't do anything. What am I going to do with a True Name and a Jit? I'm just hitting him for three, and then he's exiling stuff with Deathrite and hitting me for seven a turn. Like, I'm under a lot of pressure. So he followed up with Titania, the commander one. If nobody knows what that card does, whenever a land goes, like one a land he controls goes to the graveyard, he gets a 5/3 token. So he just like plays a 5/3, wastelands himself, and makes two more 5/3.
She also like when she enters the battlefield, you get a land back from your graveyard.
Ooh,
so you just go like wasteland, get back my wasteland.
Yep.
Wasteland my land.
That's actually exactly what he did.
He put 20 power into play.
Yeah.
When she enters. Like,
that's not even
insane.
Till end of turn. Like, yeah, no, you have a permanent 5/3.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, I tried to find an out. Like, my out was like maybe Supreme. I needed to draw Supreme Verdict and Plains, which means I needed to draw Brainstorm, find Supreme Verdict and Plains, and then go from there.
Right.
It was a hell of a scenario, but I lost that game. Round two, played against what I thought was Death and Taxes. It was not Death and Taxes. It was Eldrazi and Taxes thing.
Yeah.
Amalgamation with like Chalices and Aethersworn Canonists in the main and Displacers and Thought Not Seers. And so like I go right into the Stoneforge plan. I'm like, turn one, I like Pluto Delta, and she goes, turn one, Plains. And I'm like, oh, Death and Taxes, that's what this is.
Right.
Turn two, Stoneforge, get Jit. I'm on a roll. Here we go. And she goes, Caracas, Warping Whale, your Stoneforge Mystic. And
ooh.
I'm like, what in the actual hell
that's
is
powerful.
Going on? That's a weird one.
But hold on.
Yeah, but you can't cast Warping Whale off Caracas Plains.
Oh,
because
are you sure?
Because none of them make colors, man.
Oh, let me run the math again. No, you can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. So then she's like, oh, okay. And then just like took another couple minutes to decide to play Thalia. And I'm like, all right, here's a True Name Nemesis. Next turn I'm playing Jit Equipping and smacking you with this thing. Kind of just went into the True Name plan, Jit, and she didn't really play a whole lot. Game two was a 30-minute grind fest where there was so many, like...
Missed triggers.
There was a lot of missed triggers. There was a lot of bad life total keeping. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of bad like just play errors, like things that happen. We both forgot Thalia had first strike.
Oh.
So when Thalia was equipped with a Jitte and a sort of fire and ice, we weren't counting first strike damage. I was blocking with a true name with a batter skull on it, not the Thalia, but I was blocking something else. Mm-hmm. And I was just gaining the life simultaneously with Thalia because neither one of us was keeping track of this board state. She at some point like cast a Jitte and equipped when she couldn't because Thalia makes it cost more. She scooped up when I think she actually had the win game too. There's a lot of slow play going on too, which the judge was sitting right there, and I'm kind of like, please, please call slow play. Like,
or just look at me.
Yeah,
look.
She's been thinking for like 4 minutes about nothing. Uh-huh. Like she's thinking about going to combat, and I'm trying to like kind of be gentle because this was this person's first tournament. But she also had Chalice on one, which I don't know if she would. It's one of the things where if somebody has Chalice on one, it's their trigger to remember.
Right.
So you can cast spells through. You can still cast spells. But
it's interesting that that's still a may. It's almost a may. You know?
Almost like you may counter that spell. Like if it's detrimental, like if I go bolt myself and you go, sure. Yeah, you could just let it resolve through Chalice. Nobody would do
but
that.
But I mean, technically you're forgetting the trigger, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You always gotta like the first Chalice check is always free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
absolutely.
If they forget it.
Sure. Keep going.
There's like a 50%, more than 50% chance they miss the next one.
Yeah.
Too,
right.
Unless they like are just like, oh.
Yeah,
but if I'm correct, it's the ruling. So let's say they forget, quotation marks, the trigger.
You cast a spell, they forget.
Or even for their benefit. It's kind of like Dictate of Erebos. Wait, the one that lets you draw cards, the blue one?
Dictate of Kruphix.
Kruphix. No,
it's not. Yes. You have to draw.
Yeah, you have to. And it's their trigger to remember. So if they conveniently forget or you know, coincidentally forget, they can get a warning for that. It actually happened to me at a local tournament.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. It's his trigger.
If they forget their own trigger,
yeah, or if he forgets to remind me that it's that I have to draw an additional
card.
That's
different.
That's a different one.
Okay,
so because that one's that's more of a.
It's not a trigger. That's like a replacement.
No, it's not. It is a trigger.
It is a trigger.
It's at the beginning of
the
upkeep.
Yeah,
you draw the card at the upkeep. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
Dictate of Kruphix.
Yeah,
or either that or the beginning of the draw step.
Does it have to do with like? Dark Confidant, like a detrimental trigger.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
yeah, I think it has to do with the detrimental trigger. Like, you can forget detrimental triggers for your opponent,
and then get
opponent.
To choose to put them on the stack.
Yeah, and they get to choose whether
your
goes
opponent
on the stack.
Does.
Yeah, I think
that's weird.
May have to.
It is weird. He did get a warning. I mean, it was just a warning. But
well, yeah, you should like in competitive. Like, you'll get warnings if you forget that stuff. Yeah.
Right. Right. Chalice doesn't work that way though. Well, okay. So like, let's say I have a Chalice and you cast a spell, and I'm just like, that should be countered by Chalice, and I'm like, sure. And I forget. Then you go, resolves. And, like, I can't go, whoa, no way, Chalice. You're like, well, sorry to resolve, guy. It's too late. SOL. But if I try to, like, put Chalice on two and then go, Infernal Tutor or some, I don't know, what Snapcast Mage, Stoneforge. Sure. And you're just like, oh, okay. Like, you don't really think about it. And I just resolve it. I'm in trouble
That's
now.
Cheating.
That's cheating. I've forgotten my own Chalice trigger on myself.
And that's, like.
That's malicious.
Yeah.
It's hard to prove.
Even if you didn't. Yeah, you can't prove it's malicious, I guess, but it.
It is.
It's pretty rough. You should know which cards do.
Right.
Episode one. so no, like I never. At one, there was one point like she attacked with Thalia with a Sword of Fire and Ice, missed the trigger, and just like put two counters on Jitte and said pass. And I sat there for like 5 seconds thinking to myself, do I say anything?
For the sword trigger, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, I think you have a couple triggers. She goes, oh, yeah, sword triggers. I'm like, God, son of a bitch. Why do I do this to myself? There's no need. It's competitive REL. But no, like, that was a thing that happened. Just, like, reminding. I never tested Chalice. I should have. Like, looking back, I should be like, brainstorm?
I think you always do.
I think, like, I think you should, but.
And I think you do it early and not when.
Not when it, like, matters.
People are hyper-focused.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. Just, like, when they're lax.
Especially when. In Legacy, you have instant cantrips, right?
Yeah.
Instant speed cantrips.
Yeah,
so, like, while they're doing their thing, you're just, like, in response.
Response.
And then he's just like, yeah, that resolves, so he can continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just, like, in their own turn, like, just cast a brainstorm or something. Yeah.
Right. And that's not scummy. That's just
like, you
playing
have to
the
check
game.
It. Like,
yeah.
It's not bending the rules.
No,
per se.
No.
Because you can still cast it. It's not that
you
can't cast.
Can
it's just automatically countered.
And I think at a competitive regulation tournament, even at, like, casual, you should.
Yeah.
Just test them. And I did it round three. I played against Merfolk, and I got to kind of style on him a little bit. Lost game one, just kind of got run over.
As it happens with Merfolk.
Sometimes, yeah. He played Chalice on one, and I'm just like, brainstorm? And he's like, Chalice. I'm like, good job, guy. Well done.
Speaking of merfolk, have you... So today I watched some of Cincinnati coverage. I watched a blue-green merfolk.
Yeah, blue-green merfolk might be a real deal. We'll get to that one.
Yeah.
I was super wrong.
Yeah.
Turns out it's kind of good.
The explore mechanic.
There was a play against Eldrazi Drawn player where he just needed a lord to win the game. And he had an Aether Vial on two. And he goes, upkeep, vial in, merfolk, the branch walker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one that explores when it enters the battlefield. And I'm like, holy, oh my gosh.
That's basically just to try to filter his draw step.
Because he explored a non-lord to the bottom and then just drew the lord for his draw step. I'm like, this man's a god.
Yeah.
That
really paid off.
It's funny. Like I was
explore merfolk is,
yeah. I was getting ready to go out and shopping with my fiance, mm-hmm. and I have Twitch up, and you know she knows about magic, but she doesn't know the archetypes.
Right.
So I'm like, Tori, this guy's playing a new deck. Yeah, it's just like they said it couldn't happen, and he's doing it.
But
they said it wouldn't happen. This man proved them wrong.
The experts at Dead on Board said, "Nah, not a thing." And we,
I think he might have top aided. I don't know if top eight deck lists are up yet. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
We are recording as these things would have been reported, so I don't know that we would know yet.
Okay,
we'll have to check on that. But no, I ended up losing game one to Merfolk, beating him game two because I put something horrible on a true name.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's, that's good. And then game three, it was like kind of a grind test where he would mulligan to five, and his lane, he like started off like turn one cavern on Merfolk, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I kind of did my thing. I didn't really do anything. I pondered or whatever. And then he goes Mutavault, go. And I'm like, oh, this guy only has one blue source, and it's Cavernous Holes. I'm about to style on him. And then I messed up, and I just played a fetch land instead of a wasteland.
Yeah.
And he goes, second cavern, true name, Nemesis. And I'm like, I have a problem. It's not good for me. So I couldn't counter the true name, didn't even try or whatever. Ended up just kind of rolling into finding Council's Judgment. Hitting his true name, swords to plowshareing his lord. Turns out he had a phantasmal image in hand. He could have copied his true name nemesis like on his turn earlier, but he was like playing around Supreme Verdict, which he'd seen game two.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, I don't really want to like play into just some nonsense sweeper.
Did he have another blue source at that point?
No, because like I wastelanded the crap out of him at that
point. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. He couldn't have phantasmal.
Yeah, I guess he could, because he could have imaged.
Oh, illusion, he didn't have a blue source.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, he ended up drawing islands later in the game, but I'd wastelanded him pretty hard, and he didn't have Vile. And then I assembled Voltron, Germ Voltron. I found a Stoneforge Mystic. It got Batterskull.
Mm-hmm,
put it in
mm-hmm.
play Batterskull.
Okay.
Put it into place. It was always Jitte.
Oh.
Found a second Stoneforge.
That's it? Okay.
Found a second Stoneforge.
Oh.
Found Sword of Fire and Ice.
Uh oh.
Equipped Sword of Fire and Ice and it was always Jitte to Batterskull. basically, I said attack. Triggers. Draw a card. All two damage.
Can you imagine the stack?
Yeah.
The horror.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just got to style on him a little bit at the end, which like kind of feels fun. Like batter sculling with like two equipments into an empty board. It was a fun time. But that guy was a really, really good player and a really fun guy to play against. Mm-hmm. Even though it was kind of a rough game three. But then I got to play against Blue Zoo, which I've traditionally been very good against. Andrew Fenwald's a heck of a player, and he knows that deck very well. We had a very strange game one where there was a lot of pondering and brainstorming, and I was brainstorm locked for like six turns, so that was good. I was stuck on two lands, just trying to find any way to shuffle my library to get the stupid counter spells off the top of my deck. Like, not Force of Wills, just actual counter spells that I couldn't cast,
because
my lands were like island planes, so I just couldn't do anything with them. And then eventually he's like, Grim Lophomancer, and I'm at 18 going, I'm screwed. Like, I just can't beat this thing. Can't kill it, can't do anything. So he just has Grim Lophomancer and then burned me out with like double tribal flame.
Ouch.
For five. Yeah, just mm-hmm. like he did nothing but burn damage and like one Grim Lophomancer hit. So died that game, beat him game two, just like turn name, get a batter skull. Or I hit him with War and Peace. I back to basics him. That's what it was. He had two lands in play, tapped out for something, and I said, back to basics. He Force of Willed, I Force of Willed. We were done with that game at that point because he couldn't untap any lands. He had zero non-basics.
Zero basics.
That's what I said. That's what I said. He has all duels. All duels. Eight of them. And then game three was super weird where I might have misplayed, but I don't know. It's kind of debatable. I took a different line that I thought might have increased my win percentage, but I got down to five, and then I started having to Swords to Plowshare my own dudes. It was rough. A lot of pressure from Double Tarmogoyf. Even though I had a true name, I was like taking four. It was quite a grind fest. I ended up losing. Ended up getting burned out. And that's just, that happens. That's not a big deal. I was really happy with the way I played. Round five, I had a chance to get into top eight. My Briggers were the best of the 2-2s. And if I beat my round five opponent, then I had a chance to get in top eight. I chose not to. The person who I was playing against was a local guy who I knew, and if I scooped to him, I guarantee he's in top eight.
Right.
Like, so I was like, well, better. And I think it's a good matchup for me. I think I actually probably get into that top eight because I think I beat him. So, like, Stoneblade decks, like, I'm traditionally very good against Delver decks. Very good against Delver decks. So for that one, I wasn't too worried, but ended up just scooping to him, being done with the day, making sure at least one of us got in. Particularly him, because like there's a chance that if I didn't scoop, neither of us got in, and right. Somebody from ninth or somebody from 10th or 11th jumped us. No, I was 10th. Somebody from 11th or 12th jumped us, and not that I don't like those people, but I just wanted to like make sure Derek was locked in. But the people to our right of us, the person in 7th and 8th, both had to play, so mm-hmm. we could have jumped in. I could have jumped in, but I wasn't too worried about it, so. No, just scooped him up. So I was pretty well done with the day. Played a lot of Magic, so
yeah.
I was
a week of it. Yeah,
because we also played Legacy Thursday and Friday as well. Like three rounds Thursday, four rounds Friday. I went 3-1 Thursday and I think 1-1-1 Friday or Thursday. I went 3-1 Friday, 1-1-1 Thursday. It doesn't matter. I don't care. But like seven rounds plus then another four, and then like playing Modern twice. I was like, oh, man, I'm whooped. I want to go get like a shitty cheeseburger. That's what I want. So. No, good day for me. Like,
or some Taco Bell.
Yeah,
or
Taco Bell.
This podcast is not sponsored by Taco Bell.
Not yet.
By Taco Bell.
We just eat there a lot. Yeah. Shout out to Taco Bell. Yet.
I think that's the meme of this podcast is trying to get be. Sponsored by Taco Bell.
That's it. The other meme that I'm going to keep sneaking in there is that I always play Jund. I did write down on my deck list for Legacy, blue-white Jund. So
I need to come up with a good nickname for Storm. So when I played Burn, I always... In the title of it, when you deck reg, I put Burn by Usher.
I like it.
That's pretty good.
I like it. What is four color loams? Is it just our catchphrase? Is that the deck's name?
It's just
four color. Fuck them. That's
yeah, there we go. That's the deck. That's the one.
That's the deck.
Good one. Good one.
To be honest, Colin, you had me rifle through that. Deck last night, and that is a pile of.
You just like
it looks like an amalgamation that could never win,
yeah. But it does.
But you're so you just kill people.
So you play 26 lands, four Mox Diamonds. Your goal
not Opal,
yeah, not
specifically
Opal.
Mox Diamond.
You're just trying to play a lot of like Chalice on one, on turn one, or Dark Confidant turn one is also like
that sounds pretty good.
It's an acceptable play.
I did that a lot this weekend. My first round was I beat all of the fair decks and lost to combo.
Yeah. As it happens.
That's how it happens. My deck doesn't have a lot of interaction. That isn't Chalice on one.
Yeah.
The combo deck wasn't Storm.
Are you not playing blue? Is that the fifth color?
Yeah, no, not playing blue.
It's four color non-blue. Round one, I play against one of the locals who's playing blue-white Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a cakewalk.
Yeah.
I feel like it probably shouldn't be. I don't know. Like, that's the first time I played against it, and
that pilot was a little bit more inexperienced, though.
Yeah, he was. He hasn't played Legacy a bunch. He had just bought into it.
For Miracles.
Yeah. And casting a lot of portents, but I cast a lot of Punishing Fire to his face. He had a Jace on like 7.
20
on seven.
And it just didn't matter. I was like, Punishing Fire you.
Yeah.
You're going to lose this game one life at a time.
Yeah.
Then you resolved a Entreat the Angels for 6. I'm like, ah, sweet. Punishing Fire you 2 more times.
Right. Plus Death Rite.
Game 2.
Sweet guy.
Huh? Plus Death Rite.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No Death Rite.
There's no Death Rites in this deck.
If you play four colors,
no
Death Rite's not in there.
No Death Rite.
No.
No,
you play Chalice.
This should not work.
You play Chalice on one.
Well, yeah, sure, sometimes.
No, it's like your game plan is Chalice on one or Bob on one.
Yeah. And the games where you don't have that is like kind of hard.
Yeah.
Because then you just have to like grind out a bunch of value.
You play
Knight
like
of the Reliquary is in that deck.
Yeah.
Three Lilianas, Punishing Fire, and Life of the Loam.
That Grove. How many life? How many Loams are you playing?
Two.
Two. Okay.
Two Groves, three Punishing Fires, three Grove of the Burn Walls.
How many Tabernacles at Pendrell Vale?
Zero.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That card is, so you know, like the number eight?
Yes.
Take that.
And just
turn it tilt it 90 degrees.
Yeah.
That's how much that card costs.
Oh.
Infinity.
Infinity.
No, they're only like $1,000 for the English one.
Yeah. So I...
Oh, it's like 1200.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, man.
It's an absurd amount.
Jesus.
I play that matchup round one. I cast a Johnny Vengeant.
Was that good?
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I just... brass balls. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, no. How brave do you have to be to show up in Legacy with no blue and a Johnny Vengeant?
You're he's like barely good enough for Modern.
Whoa.
All right. Let's be real.
Peter.
I played him too. I was the one who actually ulted him in a competitive event. So that's all I've got to say.
That's all I've got to say.
I have ulted him just at like weeklies, I guess.
But sure.
Yeah, no. It was a good time. Johnny Vengeant's school card.
Round two, play against Sneak and Show.
Get dumpstered.
Just
scoop
that one.
Yeah, just get dumpstered.
I went turn one Chalice on one, and he goes, oh, cool, that doesn't matter. I knew the guy.
He
just
goes,
City of Traitors, Mox, not Mox,
Lotus, Petal.
Lotus Petal, Show and Tell, Omniscience, Emrakul. And I'm like,
hey, those combinations rude. Are pretty good.
I just said rickety wreck.
These are rude. And then I had to mulligan a five game two.
It's not a very nice guy.
Like,
do you? What do you have in the sideboard for that? Anything?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Sure. No.
The one time I take out
containment priest. Yeah. It was in my box.
Who plays Show and Tell? And the one person that played Show and Tell in the room just actually crushed the whole event.
Yeah. No,
he did pretty well.
Yeah. Didn't lose a game.
Yeah. Just went XO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did great.
Round three, play against Sultai Death Shadow.
Oh, yeah, okay. Chalice on one.
Which is just another Delver deck.
Yeah.
And I just go turn one Chalice on one.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've played nothing but Chalice decks all day.
Oh, what a sad for that guy.
He cast like eight spells into the Chalice, and I'm like, oh, man, I just can't beat this Gurmag Angler he's about to play, and it just didn't show up.
It just didn't happen.
Sometimes that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you'll throw spells on Chalice if you're trying to delve or something, but
why not?
Yeah. So I win that one. That one pretty. Game two, I drew four Mox Diamonds. We don't want to talk about it. Then just pretty swiftly dealt with them game three.
Yep.
Nether Reliquary being like a 7/7 is huge.
Yeah.
Wow. God. Holy cow.
When Nether Reliquary just gets way bigger than Death Shadow, you're like, cool.
Right. And your life total is not at risk.
Yeah. That's you're just like, good. Nice Death Shadow guy. Good one.
Round
you
four.
Can also get, you also get Grove. Oh.
Yeah. No, just that's another like weird parody thing. Like, you don't want to give him too much life.
No. But like, you can keep your Death Shadow.
Like, yeah. Like, I kept him from casting Death Shadow for like a turn or two.
Yeah, sure.
It was pretty good.
That's good. Yeah.
Round four, I played against Manalus Dredge.
Sideboard tech.
Yeah, no, I have three Leyline of the Voids on my sideboard.
Just for that matchup?
Not just for that matchup.
Mulligan to Leyline.
I mulliganed to four game two for Leyline.
Had a judge call with that because you didn't know how your scry worked. Yeah, and the guy just said.
So, okay, come on. That's fair.
Hold on. Hold on. Go back. So, what's the story?
Yeah.
So I go, okay, pregame effects, Leyline. I'm like, wait, do you scry before pregame effects? And he goes, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, can you miss the scry? And the judge is like over there, like nodding their head. I'm like, he goes, I don't know what you're arguing about. It doesn't matter. I'm scooping.
The guy's like, it's like, I can't win. Like,
can't win.
Forget about
He's
it.
He's like, he has actual zero ways of beating Leyline.
Yeah.
Game three, keep a seven. I go double Leyline of the Void, and he goes, okay.
And I he's got to play through it.
I played a Gaddic Teague on turn two and attacked it 10 times.
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
Well, you don't just scoop game three. Yeah. Like, you got to try. I don't know. He has zero outs.
I think like it's better to just go and cry in a corner. Yeah. Like that's way more productive than just being like,
you might be
right. Hippie. Go to discard.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he cast a bunch of Gitaxian Probes and cycle a bunch of Street Race. And he goes, move to discard. Bold.
All right. You got it.
This is a trigger that we cannot miss.
Yeah, like, no.
3-1. Get to draw into top eight.
Yep.
Get a game loss in the quarterfinals because I put Mox Opal, some Mox Diamond. I was a little tilted about that because I got a deck check
round three,
and didn't get a game loss then, which I feel like I probably should have. Well, I definitely should have. They just missed it round three, and figured it in the top eight.
Yeah.
Like deck check. But I mean, that stuff happens. Like, yeah, I'm a little tilted.
Right.
Maybe that game changes things. Cause I felt like it was a favorable matchup. So like it just, kind of ruffled my feathers, but at the end of the day,
I mean, like you make top 50, eight.
I made $50.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I top eighted in a format that I don't say that is my best.
Mm-hmm.
And, I only play the deck I played like once a month.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a hard deck. I will say I feel like Loam is a really hard deck to play.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're like figuring out which lands you need always, hurts. Windswept Heath can't get bad lands.
Yeah.
Grant Paris, the first thing he said when he handed me that deck, he goes, Windswept Heath cannot get bad lands. And the first game I played with it, I play Windswept Heath. I'm like, oh, I'll just go get bad lands. And I'm like, wait, I can't do the thing I wanted to do because I fetched wrong.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Windswept Heath cannot get bad lands. So moral of the day, Windswept Heath cannot get bad lands.
All right, so that's what you learned. Baker, what did you learn about yourself in this tournament?
I learned my sideboard was like actually probably not correct. Like I think the deck was really good. I still like my main board. I think everything's like pretty great. Might tweak one or two numbers, but I think the deck's still very well positioned. I think Stoneblade is actually a good position, like well positioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's powerful. You can still just get to style on people. Batterskull's still great. Sword of Fire and Ice is great. Jitte's great. My sideboard was less good than I wanted it to be. A lot of times I'm still working on like how to sideboard in Legacy and what to take out in certain matchups. When to cut Force of Will is kind of a big one, because there's a lot of like fair matchups where you're like, oh man, I really don't want Force of Will, but I also don't want them to resolve spells.
Right.
So it's
it's kind of like the nature of Force of Will.
Yeah, yeah. It's really tough to, and like sometimes cutting Spell Pierce is like really awkward because like you don't want that against elves, but you would counter a natural order. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
would.
It's really tough to figure out kind of like what
being
exactly.
Disciplined.
Yeah, like being disciplined in your sideboarding and like. My sideboard, sometimes I'm like, I want to bring in, like, these eight cards because they're, like, good, but I don't want to cut anything except for these three. So I think I'm just going to have to kind of go back to the drawing board on Stoneblade a little bit and maybe figure it out. That said, I might not be playing Stoneblade that much longer. I may try to slide into Bug Delver before too long. Like Delver decks, like, you have to put him to Turok. Card's great. So
the card is great.
I'll be Stoneblading for a little while longer. I really have the deck. I feel very comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the lines, and I feel good with it, but I think maybe just kind of expanding my horizons and trying the card Days. We'll see how that works.
How many islands are you playing?
In Stoneblade or
yeah.
Delver? Six. I'm not going to try Days in Stoneblade. I'm trying Delver.
Really?
Yeah, I just played. Yeah, no, you can't play Days in Stoneblade very well.
You got to, like...
Because you need to be doing something proactive turn one.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
So if you just go turn one, Island Ponder, and then Days their thing, like, what's your follow-up? You can't play Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah.
Not the next turn.
Yeah.
Right.
Not without Lotus Petal. Maybe that's the key. Simeon
Tech.
Spirit Guide. Yeah. Text. Turn one, Stoneforge, Simeon Spirit Guide. I think that's ever actually happened. But like the Jeskai Delver decks.
Yeah.
That Owen Turtenwald made a long time ago. Played Days in their Stoneforge decks. But they also played Delver and Swords to Plowshares. That was a strange amalgamation. Like, it was playing really powerful cards. But playing Swords to Plowshares and Delver decks has always been really precarious. Because like, all right, we're playing Delver. We're trying to get them dead. And then maybe give them life. Like, it's not the best combination, but...
But sometimes you need to get rid of their Delver, right?
Yeah.
So like, give them three life, additional turn, whatever.
Yeah, so like, most of them, like, you'd rather Swords, like, their Noble Hierarch, and, like, Bolt their something else. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I'll have to, like, work on just maybe playing a little bit tighter as far as certain sequencing things. But, no, I felt really good about the day, and I was happy to be able to, like, scoop a friend into the top eight.
Absolutely.
That was, I got a lot of joy out of that. Just like, sweet, I get to help a guy out. So,
and he would do the same thing. Like,
oh yeah, I think Derek would do the same thing too. Yeah, I hope he would. But no, it was a good day. It was a good weekend of Magic and good to be able to just kind of like let my brain off a little bit early. It was a free IQ for me. I got to play with Stork Rider. So
yeah,
dude,
it was
me
good.
Too.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it feels like I had nothing.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
all
I
my two.
I guess
twos.
So.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah. No, good week for us, Magic-wise. Long week,
yeah,
but good week.
When I say, like, as we talk about these different formats, you know, Modern versus Legacy, and any other Eternal format variants, like, we start talking about cards that are included, aren't included. We actually have this potential banning, unbanning coming up on the 17th.
Yep, it's a BNR.
Tuesday.
2 days from now. 2 days from our recording.
So, gentlemen, I'll pose the question that we ask ourselves every B&R announcement. Do you think anything's going to change?
Modern, no.
Yeah, I can't see anything changing in modern.
I haven't played enough Legacy to know
to have a foothold,
to have a feel of if a card needs to be banned or not. Because like you look at the top lists, they're like the four color labeled lists, like Checkpile or Grixis Delver. Like, what card like are you gonna ban from either of those decks that like isn't universally played?
I mean, like.
If you're Jeff Hoagland, you ban Brainstorm.
Damn,
that's wrong. But whatever.
Like, that kind of it makes the format though. Like,
that, right? Like, burning Brainstorm would be tilting. Oh my god.
Like, I don't think you can ban a card in Legacy unless it either super slows down pace of play, like Top did,
right?
Because you had like a lot of people who didn't know how to resolve Top,
right.
And just took forever with it. I think that was more of a. All right, our Legacy tournaments are taking way too long. Plus, Miracles is, like, hands down the best.
Yeah, fairly impressive.
Yeah. Like, it's been long enough.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think anything needs to get hit in any format.
Is anything coming off in any format?
I would like to see some cards unbanned. Modern. That's just for my own.
Well, here's the problem. It's like cards? A lot of people push for either Bloodbraid, which is definite no, and Stoneforge, which is probably also a definite no.
Yeah. I just played 3 days straight of Stoneforge. Y'all are crazy.
Right. I mean, like, Batterskull is powerful enough.
Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, I never get Batterskull. I just never get it. I'm like,
but I mean, in Modern, you kind of do though.
No, right? Yeah, in Modern, you get it. Sure, get Batterskull. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever.
You can't get Jit, so
you cannot get Jit.
Jit is also banned. Yeah, in Modern.
Yeah, that's a card that should also not come off the ban.
Yeah, that one's probably safe. Well,
honestly,
without Stoneforge,
without Stoneforge, Jit.
Because like playing four is weird because you're gonna draw multiple.
No, you just play like two or three, probably. But yeah. I don't know what deck would emerge that would want
every deck. I mean, like, that's Thopter Sword combo, right?
No. Yeah, no. Like, a tokens deck might, but I honestly don't...
There's no, like, Maverick-esque style deck.
Right, there's no, like, modern value sort of... And you can't play them in, like, company decks.
Because it's a card.
It's not a creature.
Yeah.
It just takes up another slot. That said, it just hoses, like, counters company nonsense. Like, you just don't care. Nice Vizier. Go eat it.
No, you can't... Oh, wait, it's -1/-1, not counter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Yep. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. They just get -1/-1. So, yeah, it's also like good against burn. It's good against Death Shadow, just gaining 2 life, pumping your dudes.
Does it say target player gains 2 life?
No, you gain 2 life.
Okay.
No, that'd be kind of cool tech, killing Death Shadows that way. But no, Jitte is a hell of a card. Stoneforge. Man,
I'm gonna say no, man. I hope that card does not get
it. It shouldn't. And just don't do this to yourself, people. Like, I don't know. Twin? No.
Twin would be,
you know,
sweet. I think that, like...
I'd play it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd try it for, like,
I would hate it. I would hate that it'd be around, but I'd learn how to play around it.
Yeah. Because
I wasn't really playing Modern when Twin was a big deck. Mm-hmm. I finished Kiki Chord, like, right when Twin was banned, and... Actually, about a week before Eldrazi winner, the Pro Tour that I had, that Eldrazi was like killing at.
Right.
There was an SCG States event that weekend that I top aided. It was my first event ever with Kiki Chord, so the Eldrazi deck like wasn't really there because deck lists hadn't been posted.
Right.
So like my first was like right before Eldrazi winner. So I never got the experience with against Twin.
Mm-hmm.
But like the decks I like to play are just really bad against it. But that being said, I think it would be
Affinity.
Fine.
Not now.
Really? I think Affinity probably pretty bad against it.
You could Galf Blast. It was fine. Like Affinity was very playable and was very good when Twin was legal. Grixis Twin was kind of a beating. Sort of.
Was that a deck?
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah, because you just beat up the other twin list. You were just, like, a little bit worse. Like, you couldn't bring in a Blood Moon. Like, your mana base was much more fragile, and, like, you couldn't run as many, like, Cryptic Commands, but you just beat up, like, you just had Terminate and Kolaghan's Command in addition to Twin.
Well, if you look at, like, what's changed, you know, so the revelation of Death Shadow and the inclusion of Fatal Push and Fast Lands.
Shadow Twin?
Yeah, Shadow Twin.
Shadow Twin would be silly. Probably not good, but
yeah. People would try it. People would play it.
I don't think it'd be bad. It wouldn't be good, but it wouldn't be bad.
You could also talk about Four Mana Do Nothings, apparently. Jace the Mind Sculptor.
I think
that's way too much.
I think with how fast Modern is right now, or how fast it can be, I think Jace the Mind Sculptor is like fine. But like I could definitely see the argument for them.
Like, do I want you to have four mana cards in your deck that don't proactively do anything when you play them?
You only put two of them in there.
I mean, sure, but
yeah, like I immediately cut a Johnny Vengeance, and then I probably just cut Colonnade. I just win the game with Jace.
Yeah, the control decks like kind of get a beating.
They get goofy,
but I think with the inclusion,
you just make the format evolve.
Yeah, I guess. Oh man, I don't know.
That's too drastic, especially with the inclusion of Spellqueller. Like that was kind of your like here's an additional card to make you good.
Spellqueller into Jace actually seems. But I guess you can Spellqueller there, Jace.
That's what I'm saying. But if they're also playing Spellqueller with Jace, you play the slow game with Snapcasters and Colonnades. And
Everybody likes to talk to me and be like, I'm like, Jace is way too good for this format. You all don't even understand because it's mostly people who just play Modern and maybe have never resolved it in Legacy. And they're like, what? Like, it's just dies. You know, you just play it and it just gets bolted. And I'm like, you never play this card on turn four. You people, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, you never just jam this on turn four and go, huh, I hope it lives. Like, that.
Because then you're dead.
Yeah, sure. Then, like, they don't care. But, like, you're going to jam this on turn 7 or 9 or 12 after you've already revved for 4 and Supreme Verdicted twice and killed all their stuff and they have no hand left because you crypted 3 spells. Like, this isn't... It's not what we're doing. Like, this card is just basically a way to seal the game. Yeah. But if Jace comes back, Pivot Needle becomes good.
Yeah, Phyrexian Revoker decks.
Yeah, Phyrexian Revoker decks. Sorcerer Spyglass.
Hey.
Yeah, so...
I mean, they printed options to deal with it, so...
There's a bunch of things that deal with it. Vraska's Contempt becomes Modern playable. Not really, but, like, joking aside, Jace being unbanned would definitely shift the format in a weird way, I think. I don't know exactly how it would go. Maybe Jace does nothing. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think so, but...
It's definitely too powerful.
Yeah, like... The thing is, like, I don't think... Jace isn't immediately powerful. The turn he comes down, it's... Once he's stuck around for 2 turns, you've lost. You're done. Mm-hmm. That's it. Game over. Sorry. They've brainstormed 3 times and started fate stealing you.
If he becomes unbanned, you better give us Brainstorm too, because here's the thing, like, you get a 4 mana Brainstorm, right?
Sure.
Give me a 1 mana one, because at that point it doesn't matter which I cast, I'm still winning.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but then the Jace decks just also play Brainstorm. Then, and they also get Brainstorm. Also
that's the point. You can't do that. You cannot
unban
this card.
I guess. People are like, 4 mana Brainstorm's bad. I'm like, you're just not doing that. You're not playing this card, right, people? You've never done this before, I know. But it also pitches to Disrupting Shoal to counter their own Jace. Ooh. Man, so Corey Burkhardt actually said Disrupting Shoal probably becomes the way to beat Jace decks if Jace gets unbanned. And then he's like, people are like, Fusion unban Jace. And he's like, people are literally playing Jace Architect of Thought in Modern right now. We do not need the Mind Sculptor. What is wrong with you people? So, no, I honestly could see 0 changes in Modern, and I think that's probably okay.
Yeah. Please. So, since I started playing Storm, I get asked the question, do I think my deck's going to get banned? Previously, I would say absolutely. Like, Git Probe, like, does not belong in a format that can not cast Brainstorm.
Yeah.
I think
it's gone now.
Right. So they've made it a precedent to not actually ban the Storm cards.
Yeah, they've banned a lot of things out of Storm that aren't Storm.
Right.
They hit Storm so many damn times. it's like, so a lot of it inadvertently. Yeah. Like, Storm wasn't even good when Gitaxian was banned.
Well, at the time. But yeah, because of the rest of the meta, sure. But.
Right, right. Well, Storm was like tier 3 playable.
The thing that brought Storm up, I guess, to its level now is the printing of Brawl.
Yeah. Brawl. Yeah. It's a house.
Like, if I don't think Storm would be as good as it is now post pro banning if they didn't print Brawl.
I would agree.
Yeah. No, I don't think it'd be present. I don't think it'd be a real deck. But Brawl's real good. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not telling you anything new.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know, like, on top of being an additional bear.
Mm-hmm.
He has that counter magic clause where I can just loot.
We're looting after a remand. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'll just draw 2 cards and then fill my graveyard.
And you're like, I didn't want this extra land anyway. Whatever, you just pitch it. Who cares?
And he's a 1/3, so you're like, your Snapcaster beats
don't do anything.
Yeah.
Collective Brutality doesn't kill it. I can't tell you how many times that's been awkward in my life. Yeah, which like Electromancer, I'm just like, yes, Clutch of Brutality, make Discord. And probably not Drain, but maybe Drain, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, and
like I said, you get matter. To like above 25 life. I wouldn't say it's hard, because if I have the combo online, it's online, but I'm going to have to cast a Seer Missions.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I think anything would be Gifts Ungiven. As much as I don't want that card to go, that card is super broken.
Could it be Metamorphose?
No, because then the deck is dead. Like,
well, so if you ban Gifts, the deck is dead, right?
Yeah. No. You back to Pyromancer's Ascension.
I think it's really hard to win with Pyromancer's Ascension.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but the deck's not dead, you know? Am I going to play it? No. Because I like Gifts Ungiven.
I will switch deck.
Yeah. No loyalty.
No. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm just joining this weird bus, this weird train right now.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you know.
If you find something better, you like different or whatever. Sure. Yeah.
I just decided that.
I'm a hypocrite. Yeah. Playing Affinity. Like, what do you mean?
I just bounce around. I have no loyalty to anything.
Oh, yeah,
except
no. I'm a...
an archetype.
Yeah.
Not really colors.
Gen boy.
Yeah. Just loyalty to that archetype. No colors. I don't care. I don't see color.
Oh, whoa. Hey.
But I mean, white, I do have blue, to say, black, like, it's nice green. To get back to combo. Like, if my origin started at Amulet Bloom, which is technically a combo deck, I guess.
Yeah.
It's nice to get back to this kind of, like, I'm very proactive.
Yeah.
Instead of being reactive. I was reactive for
a while. Yeah, you played a lot of reactive decks that looked like, I don't know, Snapcaster Path stuff right. for a long time. Yeah, this is a much different axis. I mean, I'm thinking about jumping back on, in fact, because... might be good.
So that green enchantment that we failed to talk about.
Yeah, we had some people very upset about that.
Shaper's Sanctuary.
Yeah, Shaper's Sanctuary is a real card. I think that makes your like blue-white-red matchup marginally better.
Absolutely.
Not good, but marginally better.
I'm telling you, when I get paid, I'm buying 4.
Yeah.
And I don't even own all of Infect at this point.
Yeah, no, I think it's reasonable. Card's probably pretty good. I'll probably pick up a couple copies. I might try them. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on Infect at the moment, but... I think the deck is like probably pretty good, because the other thing is people forget how to play against Infect, and they just they don't know how to do it anymore. You used to like you have to play really tight against Infect to win.
Yeah,
it's really and if you don't, they will kill you. Like they will. So, and if, like if you don't time your spells correctly, if you try to kill something in combat, you're gonna look like a dum-dum, and you're gonna take more poison because of it. So, no, like I think Infect like it's a good meta call. Apparently, some other people this weekend thought so too. There's a couple copies of Infect. In day two of Star City. Yeah, at Charlotte. Looks like there's, not that many copies of Infect. It's mostly Affinity, it's Eldrazi Tron at 15 copies, Affinity 13 copies, Jeskai Control 10 copies, Burn at 9, and then, like, everything else is, like, 7 and below. Giftstorm, Grixis Death Shadow, Jund and Abzan combined for 11 copies. It's 4
let's
L's.
Talk about Jund showing up. So, previously he was kind of a bad meta call.
When I'm not playing Jund, I think it's probably reasonable to put the deck down. I don't know. I'll play that deck at, you know, all costs more or less. But when I decide, like, that's not something I want to be doing, it feels like maybe that's not the right call. But to be fair, Rabble Master's the new Hunt Master, you feel?
Yeah.
Rabble
Jund.
Yeah, Rabble Jund is a thing. I think you just have to be really proactive with Jund. I don't think you can, like, try to grind people out anymore. Yeah. I think you just need to, like, discard spell you, Tarmogoyf you, kill you.
It's on the fast end of mid-range, you know, if it were to have
if it's a spectrum and you have aggro, mid-range, control, whatever, and combos with somewhere off in fairy to the land, like, you need to be aggro slanted with Jund. You need to have a low curve. You need to be lean and mean, probably 7 discard spells.
Well, that's why, like, Abzan has, like, historically beaten Jund, because it's been more aggressive.
Well, no, it's actually grindier.
Is it grindier? Yeah.
Lingering souls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jund can't beat a lot of lingering souls.
No, like, so Jund's very good at specializing at 1-for-1-ing you, and then just having better cards. Whereas Abzan is also good at 1-for-1-ing you, but Lingering Souls just breaks the mirror wide open.
Right.
Because you're like, 1-for-1, these 4 tokens, please, and Jund's just like, can't do it. So, unless you Huntmaster the Fells and flip a bunch of times, I guess, but, you know, like, these sorts of things. Like, Jund has never been the grindiest black-green deck.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the grindiest mid-range deck is just the most efficient. So, Jund shows up in 5 copies.
What surprises me? 6 copies. Scapeshift.
Yeah.
3 copies.
Scapeshift, 3 copies. And not doing well either. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody with, like, even the red-green or rug or whatever, nobody's killing with it, which is kind of interesting. I don't really know if they're hitting bad matchups or anything, but...
Yeah. Well, I think it's split. Like, you have the Scapeshift and you also have the Breach variant.
Right.
Did they split that? I think
they did. They, I mean, like
they might have. Oh, there's green red breach.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
And blue red.
Okay, so what? Yeah. Four total copies then?
Yeah.
Four Breach, yeah.
Yeah, four total copies of...
So well, I guess like you can't really compare five. The blue red and the green red Breach decks.
No, blue red Breach is like different. Emrakul. Yeah, it's something totally different. So,
Zoo showing up
two
with two
copies of Zoo. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I love Zoo.
People will play what they have.
I think the biggest surprising factor of all this was only two copies of Humanless.
Really? You expected
that?
Yeah. So there's one 5-color and one 4-color, and I expected more.
Yeah, there's been a list on Modo that's been popping up a bunch recently with a bunch of those the freebooters and Xanthid Necromancer.
Yeah. What is
that? It's a 3-mana 2/2 that whenever it or another human dies, you put a 2/2 zombie into play.
Oh man.
Yeah, this card's been a house.
But when it dies, when it leaves the battlefield.
Or another human.
Or another human. Like it or another human.
Right. You control. Right.
Supreme Verdict, make a bunch of zombies.
Yeah. Sure. Freebooter, it being a human was like a thing I wasn't even thinking about.
Yeah.
Because that getting all the benefits of like Mirror Averbrook or like Thalia's Lieutenant.
Yep. Yeah.
Plus it being a flyer and it having that effect.
Yeah.
It just makes it actually insane.
Because in those decks were not playing Skuller or actually any effect like that.
No.
But now they can.
Now you can.
And now you open the door to like a black splash
where
you
would play. And it's one black. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just a splash.
Yeah.
It's not
plus like they're playing that undiscovered territory, like the land from Ixalan.
Oh,
the cavern of souls. Kind of.
Oh,
land.
The half cavern land. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. You name a creature type.
Yeah.
And it taps for any color.
Are they also playing cavern? I assume they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I don't know if you play four.
Do you play Ancient Ziggurat?
No.
Oh, well, I'm off it.
Doesn't cast Collected Company, dude.
Oh, you're... Well, does it not tap for any mana except for creatures?
You can only use that mana to cast creature spells.
Oh, man.
That is a tilt.
The Collected Company triggers off of these new humans is going to be gnarly.
Yeah.
Colin, you were thinking about playing it. What was mentioned last night. What do you think?
The humans list?
It seems like... I've always, like... liked the company decks. I used to own a playset of companies, and I played the Nightfall deck a little bit, and like toyed around with a bunch of different like quirky company decks. I played Nye Company.
Did you play Spirits at one point or no?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought you did. A Bank Company deck.
I
or
played
something?
Some Spellflow Spirits. I played a Bank Company list.
Yeah,
I played
with, like,
four
Vile?
Geist of Saint Trap. Yeah,
Vile? Okay.
Yeah, I did play Vile.
Yeah,
I played four Geist, four Spellcaller.
I remember this one.
Yeah.
4A into the Strain.
Four Aether Vile.
Mm. It was something.
That was sweet.
Looks good on paper.
4-0'd that week.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Just, I never played it again.
Yep.
Too good right now.
Carson wanted it as the Vile's back.
Oh, sure, sure.
Then, I think that deck's sweet. I think Thalia's Lieutenant is an insane card.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really good.
The Reflector Mage, going back from last week, not a lot of people are playing a lot of go wide decks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just company into
just bounce
Reflector Mage plus Thalia's Lieutenant, just bounce their one thing. Bouncing Delve creatures is like insane.
Yeah, it's really
What's
good.
What's the black white creature comes into play? All your creatures get +1/+1.
Orzhov Pontiff.
Orzhov Pontiff. That's a human cleric.
So you're splashing black. You might as well play that card.
Well,
too.
Yeah,
sure.
You probably play that in the sideboard.
Two?
I
play it in the sideboard. Yeah, unless you're playing Cord. It's better with Cord if you can search it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those ones where you want when you want it.
You
want
really
it,
want it.
But when
do you play?
Them, you don't.
Would you normally play Cord?
No, not in these human decks.
Probably not. Yeah. No.
Triple Grain's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And like, there's never a turn you don't want to attack or like have things that are
that's
untapped.
That's fair.
The thing with Cord is that you'd have cards like Wall of Omens and Wall of Roots. Wall of Roots making 2 mana for Cord is like insane.
Mm-hmm.
Wall of Roots or Wall of Omens is never going to attack.
Yeah. Well, then they also get to play that Dusk Dawn card, which is a house.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think you can play that card in this
really?
Deck. Because like once you play Thalia's Lieutenant, all your stuff is more than
it's
power,
bigger. Yeah,
and
that's
you just
fair.
Kill all your dudes.
But isn't Thalia's Lieutenant being targeted anyway?
No.
Like, isn't it the first human to die?
Not necessarily. No. I don't think so. I think because that one's not that important.
Once it
just
enters the battlefield, it already does its job. Like,
yeah.
I would kill... I think I would kill Mayor Averbrook before I killed...
That's fair.
Thalia's Lieutenant.
Mayor's a beat stick.
The Lieutenant's already done its damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only a 1/1 when it's on the battlefield. So, like...
Three copies of Counter's Company. That's interesting.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. That deck's bad, right? I'm just thinking of other Collected Company decks, but that deck's bad. I'm not trying to, like, derail here.
Oh, no.
But, just thinking about, like, other Collected Company shells, like, you wouldn't shove that. You wouldn't shove that combo into the humans list. No, you don't have any payoff.
No.
No, never mind.
And plus, Devoted Druid's an elf, so like...
Tilt.
I think it's an elf. I'm pretty sure it's an elf.
No, it is. It is.
Does Chalice Undo just crush that deck, though?
The humans deck?
Humans list?
No. I mean, you still play Company.
Yeah, you play Company.
A lot of your payoff cards are three drops.
Are they?
Yeah.
Apart from Thalia's Attendant.
You can also just play Rebooter. You can play Rexage.
So, I mean, this deck is it's like a turn four deck. Like... Not turn four win, but turn four establish board presence and then swing for lethal on turn five.
You would probably have a... like you're not quite a zoo deck, per se, because you're like a little bit more synergistic than just Wild in the Coddle.
It's like Merfolk,
kind of. Yeah,
okay. It would be more akin to Merfolk.
Yeah. Where like you're not disrupting their lands, you're just like taking a card out of their hand with Freebooter and then like playing maybe a Thalia. Would you play Thalia?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, two man
I'd play Big Thalia in that deck, maybe.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Big Thalia than Little Thalia, because like... I don't like 5-mana collected companies. That's less good. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, you're gonna disrupt them. Like I said, last week, you're just gonna put them off a couple turns and then kill them. Mm-hmm. Because like they can't establish a board presence, they can't quite keep up. Their wraths cost 5, so like everything's just very awkward.
Would you bother playing Path?
Yeah, you play four path.
You're splashing black, like would you want Fatal Push or is that too deep?
No.
Probably not. If you're in black, you probably play a Decay out of the sideboard if you really want it. But,
what about a Braid?
Oh man, a Braid. If you're playing red in this deck,
the red's such light spot. There's nothing.
But a Braid's a sweet card.
It is a sweet card.
And Braid, honestly, not that great in Modern.
No,
fantastic in Legacy for certain decks.
So explain to me why that card is good in Legacy.
So flexibility. Yeah, flexibility. It just does everything. It's just so good.
Well,
so
it does two things.
Well, yeah, but it does.
It feels like it does everything.
Yeah. So I specifically, and I talked to you guys both about this. Like, I specifically love it in Sideboard of Storm. So like, they used to play Abrupt Decay and like warp their mana base terribly to play Abrupt Decay because they needed to kill things like Chalice of the Void.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to kill Counterbalance. That's not so much a thing anymore. But like, they needed to kill Aetherstorm Canonist, Thalia, just other hate bears, Gaddock Teague, and like, a Braid kills all that. He kills Trinisphere, kills Chalice on one, or just Chalice of the Void in general. Kills Thorn of Amethyst if you need it to. Kills either Sworn Canonist, Thalia, Gaddock Teague, just other hate bear. Any hate bear it kills, and kills any artifact. And like, what else are people playing against you to stop you from going off? I mean, that's what I'm playing. I guess it doesn't kill Rest in Peace, but like, you can go off without Rest in Peace. It's a little harder, but you know, that card is stellar. I think, are any of the big red decks playing it? Probably not.
No, I know Max. He was playing.
Oh, he liked it in Sneaking Show.
He was playing Sneaking Show.
Yeah,
and he played one in his sideboard because he's also a Cunning Wish deck.
Oh, yeah.
That spot normally was for Sudden Shock if you want to deal with things like Mom or Dahlia.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, Mom's not a big issue.
Yeah,
and
no, I not with the Omniscience version of that.
I think like cards like Ensnaring Bridge or Troublesome Artifacts are
a lot harder to deal with. Yeah.
That
card's subtly an all-star. Vintage all-star for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that card's, the card's hugely vintage playable.
One to two copies in vintage lists. Because, like, people will show up in vintage playing, like, main deck Null Rods.
Yeah.
And
you have to, though, right? Yeah.
Sometimes.
If you're
not playing Moxen or Lotus, sure, whatever.
Yeah. If your shops or any other deck in vintage, you just, like, fold to Null Rod.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Null Rod's really good.
Because, like, oh, I'll keep this one lander. And I have like Mox Sapphire.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, strip mine your land. No rod.
Right.
And
you're like, well, dead.
Right. I can't win the game now, but I'm going to make it sure that you can't win the game now either.
Right. Well, it's like, oh, you've activated your factory. Okay, well, I'll deal 3 to it and then also blow up your no rod with the Braid.
No, it can't do both.
Either or.
That's the downside, if you will. But
yeah, at least it's instant speed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two mana?
Yeah. God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one on a red.
Yeah.
Can't go to the face, but that probably doesn't matter.
You don't need to. Yeah.
Probably doesn't
matter. You got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
I think the most surprising result this weekend at that open was 13 copies of Affinity.
Yeah, day two. 13 copies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, when it comes, and... You know, when it rains, there's robots all over the place.
If there was an open next week, there would be no copies of Affinity.
Everybody's like, none. Oh, everybody, back, Stony Silence, more Shatterstorms, Ancient Grudges.
Yeah. So, this was a great week for Affinity. if you're playing Affinity at like a big tournament, you should probably just lay low for a while.
Yeah. And just let
let everybody forget again, and then you'll crush them like 2 weeks later.
And Burn too. So here's the interesting thing.
Nine copies of Burn.
Yeah, nine. What is happening?
I'm curious to see what the deck lists are, because there's that weird non-Eidolon version that did well a couple months ago.
Really? Yeah, I don't think any of them is going to be like, I think it's probably just going to be traditional.
Standard Burn.
That list was sweet. The Shrine of Burning Rage list, but like
probably no staying power. It's like good meta call 1 week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems correct.
I'm interested to see if it's more of like an aggressive creature.
What if they play that dinosaur that you brought up?
Oh, Frostodon.
Oh, the Frostodon cyborg.
Then I'm just a predictive genius.
Yep. You said it wouldn't go into Burn decks, so I don't know about that.
Then I'm
that
not
one.
A predictive genius.
Yeah. It's all right. That card's still good, and it's definitely playable.
Sure.
I think in the next episode, we'll follow up on some of these. Obviously, we'll have the results of the official tournament by then.
Yeah, we'll know who's won by then.
Yep.
So no way of telling right now, but yeah, we'll have the results probably go over them, talk about maybe some deck list things that happen. Turns out the blue-green merfolk and Ponza are in the top eight.
Gosh,
so
dang it.
Ponza, yeah. Please.
Ponza. Yeah, you know what? I'm rather unreasonable in a lot of ways, but there are cards I would ban, and
Stone Rain.
Ponza is probably one of them.
No,
that's Utopia Scroll. That's not a card, but I would just ban. No, you got to play that one, Death Cloud.
No.
No, I'm sorry. No, just
it's got to die for its sins, because Utopia Scroll only does broken things, and by broken, I mean generates mana.
To be fair, no one has ever done anything fair going like turn one Utopia Scroll.
Right, turn one Utopia Scroll, next turn play a Goyf, and then this also like one drop.
To be fair, turn one Utopia Scroll is much better than turn one Arbor Elf than turn two Utopia Scroll, Moonvalley, Acid Moss. Yeah, that's just the worst.
What about Arbor Elf? Can that go?
No.
I'm telling you.
It's too fair.
Just ban, like, yeah, Arbor Elf's just, like, super. It's, like, the worst mana elf, but also it's fine.
Untapped Forest.
Yeah, it's sure, but, like, Ponza just, it's not even good. The problem is people are now going to play it because they think it's good. And
people are already playing it every week. Yeah, somebody shows up with this deck, and it's just.
I'm just going to have to send them back to the Stone Age with Infect and just let them know.
Or play Storm and then.
Yeah, and then just laugh.
Yeah.
Or Robots.
Robots. Turns out you don't really need lands to do that.
The Ponza player played against Robots and Ponza player scooped on turn two. Just like, oh, you hit me for nine? Yeah, I guess we're
That's probably more next turn.
Yeah. Considering it's a plaything on the battlefield.
Scoop.
Yeah, he just picked up his cards.
Do you have another artifact in that artifact deck?
Except, matter of fact, I do, because I just cast Thoughtcast. Yes.
Turns out you don't even need a champion to win that matchup. You just need
plating.
Signal Pest and a
His turn one was like Ornithopter, Darkstar Citadel, Mox Opal,
Signal Pest.
And then he just goes turn two, plating, hit you for nine. It's like, okay.
Right.
I guess this guy means business, so.
Acid Moss, your Ink Moth?
Yeah, it's like,
get a
big
force.
Thumbs up, guy. You got it. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Also, that's kind of funny because like it doesn't even lower the artifact count. Right. So plating still hits for nine or whatever. Yeah, no. A lot of Affinity, a lot of Eldrazi Tron. Mm-hmm.
That's not going
to
go away.
That one's kind of expected. Maybe it's time for them to maybe revisit that deck.
Is there any normal Tron? There's one green black Tron.
Jim Davis.
There's one green black
lost
Tron.
A win and in.
Yeah, win and in for top eight. Yep.
Green black Tron.
Yeah. Against Jeskai control.
Oh yeah, dude. That the Jeskai is control. Horrible. This is like for a pure version of Jeskai control. Five creatures: four Snapcaster Mage and one Torrential Girl.
Yep.
Ooh.
People are still split. Some are playing Geist, some are not. I
like
Geist
if
you're
tap out.
Yeah, I like your the traditional one.
The traditional one.
I do too, because like I think you need to be really aggressively slanted if you're playing Geist.
Mm-hmm. Oh sure, because then you're playing Spellcallers. You know, like these are really like two different decks, just in the same colors.
Yeah, they play differently.
Much less red.
Yeah, that one's more Chun-D, where like the control deck's just like, I don't even feel like a Liliana Veil is a problem for those control decks. Yeah. It's disgusting. So
I think there's a list out there that you play Esper, you play Geist and Bob.
Now I got to brew. You've done this to me.
I think you
get Fatal Push and Path. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then you just Bob's flipping them.
Like, what are they going to do? Not kill your Bob? Sure.
What are they going to do? Take six every turn from Geist?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll come back next week with a list, and we'll work on it throughout the week. Maybe. Maybe not. Might just go over tournament results and do some other stuff. But
I think that wraps it up for episode 3.
Yeah,
Dead on Board.
Gotta find a silly name for this one.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll get a good title. It'll be in the show notes or something.
But I do want to pimp our social media. Dead on Board is on Facebook. It's also on Twitter. What's our Twitter here?
Our official Twitter is Dead on Board, but underscores between Dead on and then on and board. So Dead_on_board. Yeah, we're on there. We're the cool picture. Our logo's just plastered all over. Well, not our logo, but like our picture, I guess, is plastered all over everything.
Dude on a boat.
Yeah, yeah. Dude's on a boat.
Episode 3, dude on a boat.
Dude on a boat. Episode 3. That's it. That's a touchdown.
You can also find us on YouTube.
Are we on YouTube? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. So we'll be uploading the podcast there.
We knew that.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll be uploading the podcast there just to make sure that everything is very well covered. Also, turns out Facebook can only host certain links. The one-click link is what they say. So instead of like clicking a link, going to a different site,
and then having to click some more there,
yeah. Right? Okay. So that's through Facebook, and then obviously we have our Twitter. We also have our work in progress website.
Yeah, it's done per se. Mm-hmm. It's still a home you can live in, but there's no furniture yet. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So,
which is okay for us college folk.
For right now, it works. It's a deadonboardblog.wordpress.com. It's the easiest way to get to it. There's links to our Facebook and Twitter down at the very bottom. There's two little icons you can just click, and that's an easy way to get to. Mm-hmm. There's a Facebook link and a Twitter link. There's in the top right corner, you can click on podcasts. That's where we'll host previous episodes, stuff like that. You can catch up on everything going on Dead on Board. And we'll usually update probably through Twitter or Facebook, but
absolutely
other news might be posted on the website as well.
Well, if you're subscribed to us on iTunes, you obviously see that.
Yep.
We're also found on our Origins of SoundCloud.
Nice.
So,
nice, yeah. You know, we'll be on
that SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah.
Grind.
Soon to be Bandcamp too. Honestly, it's another weird Facebook thing.
Yeah,
nice.
We're going through a weird phase.
Yeah.
We're just gonna get it all
trying to find our direction.
If you can't find
it's not a phase,
you're
Mom.
Not plugged into the internet. So.
I'm just feeling really punk rocky right now.
Yeah, that's what I like.
So you can find me on Twitter. I'm at @mindslump Peter Trapani. Nice. Shout out your Twitter, dudes.
That's a good Twitter.
You can find me at @BrokenPots_CB on Twitter.
Nice. You can find me at @Austin_P_Baker. At me, whatever. I'll reply, probably.
Well, thanks for joining us on episode 3 of Dead on Board. I'm Peter Trapani.
I'm Colin Bradley.
And I'm Austin Baker.
Have a good night.